Hello and welcome. Today we're talking about lethal control in Australia, when it's justified, and how to do it ethically, legally, and transparently. This topic sparks strong emotions, and for good reason. But the core challenge isn't arguing whether lethal control is ever acceptable. It's building a decision pathway that proves any lethal action was necessary, humane, lawful, proportionate, and effective. Here's the big insight. Defensible programs aren't defined by the tool you use. They're defined by the quality of the decisions and documentation that lead to that tool. Programs that keep public trust assume every step will be audited by the most skeptical observer, because often it will be. So where do we start? With purpose. Every decision must anchor to a clear, measurable objective. Are you reducing an unacceptable risk to human safety? Protecting livelihoods? Preventing irreversible biodiversity loss? That clarity is your ethical and legal spine. Without it, you can't fairly test whether non-lethal options could achieve the same outcome. And you can't show that any lethal action is the minimum necessary. Australia's standards have shifted. What passed in the 1990s, broad culls with thin paperwork, doesn't pass now. Today, effectiveness isn't enough. You must be proportionate, transparent, and committed to animal welfare. Lethal control should be a true last resort after serious consideration of alternatives. Implemented to minimize suffering and avoid unnecessary ecological harm. Before any decision, answer four foundational questions. First, what specific, measurable harm are you preventing? Not reduce crocodile risk, but reduce crocodile strike risk at this boat ramp by 90% within 3 months. Specificity right-sizes the response to the real risk, not the perceived one. Second, which non-lethal options have you trialed or credibly assessed, and with what results? Don't just list ideas, show evidence. Fencing, deterrence, husbandry changes, translocation, behavior change. What did you try? What happened and why? Include costs and benefits. An option that seems modest can be strong on cost per unit of risk reduction. Third, what is the minimum action necessary to achieve the objective without disproportionate welfare or ecological harm? This is proportionality. Do you need a scalpel or a sledgehammer? Can you focus on a time window, a hotspot location, or a few problem individuals instead of broad measures? And fourth, how will you measure success and when will you stop? Define entry and exit criteria. Pick metrics, incident reduction, damage levels, ecological indicators, and set them before you begin. That prevents mission creep and shows lethal control is a targeted intervention, not a standing policy. When programs fail scrutiny, it's usually not because fieldwork was sloppy or methods were inherently inhumane. It's because teams couldn't demonstrate that lethal control was truly the last resort. They couldn't show purpose, alternatives, thresholds, and a plan to stop. That's what undermines trust. What do we mean by lethal control in Australia? It's a spectrum. Removing a specific problem animal. Reducing populations of invasive or overabundant species. Or eradication in islands or fenced reserves to protect threatened fauna. Each sits under a different ethical framework and usually needs different permits and oversight. Common contexts fall into three broad categories. First, human safety. That includes removing identified problem crocodiles in the top end under government plans, shark control programs in Queensland and New South Wales, and targeted removal of dangerous kangaroos in peri-urban areas. The ethical distinction here is reactive versus proactive. Removing a specific high-risk individual is different from general population control, and the standard of proof and proportionality should reflect that. Second, agriculture and biosecurity. Feral pigs, foxes, rabbits, and wild dogs cause significant damage. Isolated efforts often just shift the problem next door. Effective, defensible programs coordinate across boundaries, share data, synchronize timing, and monitor outcomes against agreed metrics, not anecdotes. Third, biodiversity conservation. Predators like foxes and feral cats have catastrophic impacts on native wildlife in many landscapes. Targeted lethal control of invasive predators is essential for threatened species to survive. But the same rules apply. Clear objectives, documented alternatives, proportional action, and rigorous monitoring. Let's connect principles to practice. Start by writing your purpose as a measurable outcome. Reduce lamb predation by 70% during lambing season across these three properties. Or increase survival of this threatened marsupial by 30% within 2 years inside this reserve. Then, conduct a structured review of non-lethal measures. In agriculture, guardian animals, bait-proof feeders, electric fencing, carcass management, lambing timing. For human safety, signage, infrastructure changes, behavioral campaigns, controlled access. For conservation, habitat design, refuges, predator-proof fencing, targeted deterrence. Record trials, constraints, costs, and outcomes. Next, decide on the minimum necessary action. If one crocodile repeatedly approaches boats at a ramp, a targeted removal under an approved plan may be warranted, not a broad sweep of the river. If fox predation spikes during breeding season, a time-bound, well-supervised operation linked to that window can be more ethical and effective than year-round pressure. Precision is kinder and usually delivers better results. Then, set metrics and exit conditions. What's your baseline? How will you measure incident reduction, stock losses, nesting success, or public confidence? Over what time frame? What threshold triggers a pause, a scale back, or a stop? Lock these in before any action starts. It's much easier to hold your line when the rules are set in daylight. Documentation is your ally. Keep records of purpose, risk assessment, alternatives considered, approvals and permits, welfare safeguards, roles and competencies. Methods chosen and why, and your monitoring plan. Write every document as if it will be read out at a community meeting or tabled in court. That's not paranoia, it's professionalism. Animal welfare sits at the center. Whatever lawful methods you use, apply them with trained, competent people and align with national and state welfare codes. Assess likely pain, stress, and time to unconsciousness, and choose the option that achieves the objective with the least suffering. Plan for contingencies. Supervise in the field. Report transparently, including incidents and learnings, not just successes. Transparency matters. Communicate the purpose, the alternatives you tried, the safeguards in place, and how you'll measure success. Be honest about trade-offs. Invite independent oversight where possible. Communities don't expect perfection, but they do expect integrity. Programs open to scrutiny, humble about uncertainty, and willing to change course when the data says so. Remember, proportionality is also about social license. A program that is tightly targeted, time-limited, well-monitored, and clearly communicated will earn more trust than one that is vague, ongoing, and opaque, even if both use similar tools. If you're unsure about balance, ask, would our harshest critic agree we've done everything reasonable to avoid lethal control, and that what we propose is the smallest, kindest, most effective option, most effective step left? If you're building or auditing a program now, here's a simple checklist. 1. State the purpose in measurable terms. 2. Document non-lethal options assessed or trialed, with results and costs. 3. Justify why lethal control is necessary and why it's the minimum action. 4. Lock in metrics, monitoring, and exit criteria. Secure authorities and permits. Ensure trained personnel and welfare safeguards. Report openly and adapt based on evidence. Stop when the objective is achieved. Finally, remember, lethal control isn't a management philosophy. It's a narrow, time-bound tool within a broader strategy to reduce conflict and protect people, livelihoods, and biodiversity. If you want the longer view on preventing conflict before it escalates, there's a companion resource on reducing human-wildlife conflict in Australia that pairs this last resort thinking with practical, proactive alternatives. In the end, ethical, legal, and transparent lethal control is about discipline. Discipline in defining the problem, testing alternatives, choosing the minimum necessary action, and owning the outcome. Do that well, and you earn trust. Skip those steps, and no method in the world will save the program. Thanks for listening.